May the Lord help us to commence by singing hymn 698. Pause, my soul, and ask the question, art thou ready to meet God? Am I made a real Christian, washed in the Redeemer's blood? Have I union to the church's living head? Hymn 698.
Oh, reading for this morning hour you can find in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verse 26 to the end. Luke 1, verse 26 to the end. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste, into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias, and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as a voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath hope in his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months, and returned to her own house. Now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zacharias after the name of his father. And his mother answered and said, "Not so, but he shall be called John." And they said unto her, "There is none of thy kindred that is called by this name." And they made signs to his father how he would have him called. And he asked for a writing table and wrote, saying, "His name is John." And they marveled all. And his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue loosed, and he spake and praised God. And fear came on all that dwelt round about them. And all these sayings were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all they that heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, "What manner of child shall this be?" And the hand of the Lord was with him. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us, that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the dayspring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel. Thus far the reading of God's most holy word. May he add his blessing and give us a spirit of real prayer. Most holy, sovereign and almighty God, Lord, thou who art infinitely wise and the everlasting God from the never-begun eternity unto the never-ending eternity, thou who art all-wise in all thy ways and with whom there is nothing too hard, almighty in power, great in thy love, incomprehensible, Lord, art thou immeasurable in all thy ways. How great is thy loving kindness unto fallen sons and daughters of man. How merciful thou art, Lord God, to our wretched condition. How gracious thou art, how condescending and long-suffering. Oh, we would bow this morning hour on this the Lord's day before thee, before the throne of grace, and beg thee, Lord, to remember us in mercy. For we gather together as a company of poor sinners, and we come to again acknowledge and confess, Lord, we are but poor ones and empty. And, O Lord, without thy presence and without thy blessings, sinful, wretched creatures having nothing in self, Lord, we but bow before thee to beg that we may not gather this morning alone, but to come, Lord, in thy presence, in thy blessed spirit, to attend the word with power, and that thou would shed abroad by thy glorious light the truths of salvation of thy dear Son, Jesus Christ, whom thou hast given as a gift upon earth to thy people. O Lord, do have mercy. Rend the rocks and break open the graves of the dead that they might come forth. Lord, we beg for thee to give sight to see the way of truth and salvation, the narrow way that we might press on. Lord, we beg for thy almighty power to quicken the dead, for without thee there is no moving, there is no hunger in the corpse, there is no feeding, there is no coming, there is no believing. But with thee, Lord God, the salvation shall be given unto mankind, according to thy sovereign will, and thy great mercy, all thy people shall come forth. Lord, we beg that it might be of this people, a multitude. Oh, that one said of old, much people I have of this city. That was spoken unto Paul, was it not? Much people I have in this city, them too I must bring in. Oh, Father, we beg of thee, bring in a great multitude of this people. Bring in, Lord, a sighing and a contrite heart and a broken spirit. Bring in the poor and the trembling and the needy. Bring in those that need a physician. O Lord, perform the work, and thy name shall be glorified even this day and forevermore. The matchless mercy of God in the hearts of poor, trembling sinners. And Lord, we beg, O give us faith altogether, that gift from heaven whereby we shall believe and be persuaded to leave this hateful world and seek a better country. Give us, Lord, of the immeasurability of thy love, oh, that river that overflows and that and no man can even swim into according to its abundance. That river where the child may walk in and the adult may go in up to its knees and we may swim in. Oh, that river of love that maketh glad the city of God, that cheereth the heart and melteth the soul. Oh, that most excellent of graces, Lord, give it in rich abundance today, that we might be constrained to walk the gospel way. Hear us, Lord, for thy great name's sake. Prosper thy church that gathers here. Oh, that thou might remember them, Lord, and give them of thy love and of thy spirit. Give them that unity, that lowliness of self, that true humility. Oh, Lord, bless them with that Christian zeal. Or to walk the gospel way, grant them, Lord, the desire to walk in thy commandments. Lord, remember our cause. Oh, that thou would bless the denomination. Lord, that thou would favor us with thy presence yet now. We cry unto thee in heaven, Lord, forsake us not. There is nothing within us that thou should look upon us. Except, Lord, we plead thy mercy and thy loving kindness, thy tenderness. Oh, Lord, do stir us up and cause us to turn unto thee. Remember our loved ones at home too. Lord, that thou might remember our dear brethren as they read the sermons at home. That thou might bless that word there. And bless that word throughout the world even this day. Have mercy on us, Lord, we pray. And we set before thee, O gracious God, the needs of the congregation. The various wants and circumstances, the heavy burdens. And the trials that many face. The problems that many may not even know of. Thou, Lord God, knowest all things, and therefore hear in heaven. Oh, that thou might yet grant the softening of spirits and the uplifted eye unto heaven, unto Jesus Christ, that glorious physician and that great and merciful high priest. Lord, that thou might heal, that thou might grant that faith to cast a burden upon thee, sustain in trial and trouble, give a submissive spirit, and fill the soul with love of thy matchless mercy. Thou did not pass by. Oh, so, Lord, remember, favor as such ones with the peaceable fruits of righteousness and the cheering of a desponding soul, and thy name shall be praised, and a soul may be comforted and brought on that gospel way. Lord, do remember this nation, the leaders of this people, this country. Oh, we pray for those in authority over us, our country, our leaders. And Lord, we have to bow down in shame to confess, Lord, we have wandered. Oh, our country despises thy laws. We deserve, Lord, thy judgments and fear that they shall soon come and be poured upon our heads according to thy holy indignation against us. But, Lord, thou who art merciful and gracious and long-suffering, wilt thou not yet, Lord, have mercy on us? Wilt thou not, Lord, touch the hearts of our leaders? Melt their hearts and give them eyes to see their deep ignorance and hatred of thy ways. Oh, melt their hearts with a sense of thy loving kindness and bring them unto Jesus Christ. For truly, Lord, we know that word, blessed is that nation whose God is the Lord. But there is no nation, Lord, we fear of such. Do have mercy on us, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Oh, Lord, we would ask of thee that thou might give a hungering and thirst after thy precious word. We ask, Lord, that that blessed word that thou hast left on record may be the light upon our path and the guide of our feet. O Lord, that it may be a much read book in our homes, a coveted book, a cherished book, and the words therein may be blessed to us. We ask, Lord, that thou might bless the labors of the translating committees and to Trinitarian Bible Society especially, that thou might prosper the efforts of mankind. And we pray, Lord, that the nations of this world that have never heard thy word may read therein the precious truths of salvation. O thou almighty God, break down barriers and grant access unto that word throughout this world. O that men may know themselves to be sinners, but there may be that escape, that way of salvation proclaimed unto their souls and the precious Spirit applying it. O how vital, Lord, this need is. Grant then, Lord, that thou might prosper the efforts of mankind, and so thy name may be lifted up. And Lord, again, we would praise thee this morning hour. We would thank thee, Lord, that thou art gracious, and that thou hast given us a place when we gather together. We thank thee, Lord God, with thanksgiving offerings unto thee for the sparing of our lives in the past week, and that thou hast truly not dealt with us according to our sins. Oh, we thank thee, Heavenly Father, for the wondrous truths that thou hast made known upon this earth. We thank thee for thy precious love, for the adoption of sons and daughters, for the truths of election, for salvation made sure, that thou knowest them whom are thine, that thou hast sent thy glorious Son, Jesus Christ, when none other could do that work. A perfect Son, a glorious Son, the almighty power of Jesus Christ, and that sacred humanity. Oh, we thank thee, Heavenly Father, for his willingness and his love to fallen sons of man, to purchase that church with his life, and to shed his blood, to die for those who are such wretched sinners. Him who was buried in the sepulchre and laid the sins of his people there, and broke the bands of death and hell. Him who resurrected to breathe life into the dead, and to give life in their pathways of life, and to sanctify them. And that glorious Jesus who rose on high to make intercession for us. O Lord, do bless our souls even today with thankful tribute unto thee. Stir up our hearts to praise thee, and thank thee for the gift of thy Holy Spirit into the hearts of fools, to teach them that way, enlighten their understanding, kindle their hearts, melt them with love. Lord, to remember us this day as we would proclaim thy word, and take away the spirit of sleep amongst us, and give us an attentive spirit. Prick our hearts and open our ears to receive that word within us, that we may see no man save Jesus only. In his precious name we ask all these things. For Jesus' sake, amen.
Hymn 343. If Jesus is ours, we have a true friend, whose goodness endures the same to the end. Our comforts may vary, our frames may decline, we cannot miscarry, our aid is divine. Hymn 343.
Amen.
Greatly feel to need the Lord's help again for this morning hour. We draw your prayerful attention to Luke 1, verses 46 and 47. Luke 1, verse 46 and 47. And Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." Well, beloved friends, if there ever was a precious word to be spoken out of the lips of mankind, it is this precious text for our morning hour consideration. Oh, how precious it is in the seasons of life that we may echo the sentiments of this dear handmaiden of the Lord. So highly favored and blessed was she of the Lord. And so highly favored was she to be able to say by living faith, "Truly my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." There's no ordinary person that can say such a thing, you know. There's not every mankind that can utter the looseness of lips and the lightness of spirit than to say such a thing. These are the words of one touched by the hand of God, by the graciousness and mercy of God in her low estate. This is one who could truly exalt the Heavenly Father for the rich gift of His Son, Jesus Christ, and one who could testify of that glorious harmony of the Holy Trinity as her spirit, her tongue, was filled with the Holy Spirit, and to rejoice in a sacred truth that the world knows nothing of. I want you to speak this morning, as the Lord may enable you, in 3 points. First is the subject of rejoicing, and secondly, the cause of rejoicing, and thirdly, the object of rejoicing. Pertaining to the subject, we have already said how blessed this woman was, this one who was so low in her own estimation of who she truly was. And yet God does never look upon you nor I according to the merits or goodness of our own person. God shall be glorified in His matchless mercy, in His condescending grace to those who feel that they have fallen out of that communion with God and of that goodness or of that holiness. You know, I was reading yesterday, I believe in Psalm 86, and that word struck my soul with such a fear in a sense. I, thy servant, am holy. Can we say such a thing, friends, in our own souls? I am holy. And yet that holy God of heaven hath given such a precious gift unto mankind that we sunk in sin. Who might feel that we're sunk in sin, who might feel and realize the agony of sin and its dreadful effect upon us, our lives, and the sentence of death from it, may desire in the depths of a heart that the Lord might make us holy, and that the Lord in mercy might visit us and touch us with His tender compassion. There is a word in Isaiah 29, which is brought again into the New Testament in Matthew, and I wanted to begin there, friends, that we might see. And perhaps you say, "Oh, he's going to the same direction again," and I have to say, "Yeah, yes, I am. I'm going, beloved friends, into the truth of what real religion is, the truth of which that we might come in with Mary, or come in with that first hymn." and question ourselves that whether we are truly quickened and truly live a life of faith and prayer, and whether the object of our faith is this Lord Jesus Christ of whom we speak of. Do we feel a certain undeniable power within us turning us the gospel way? Do we feel in us a powerful conviction of the Holy Spirit testifying who we truly are? Can we leave the house of prayer, friends, untouched? Unfelt, the word unfelt in our souls, the reality of it. In Isaiah 29, the 13th verse, this is the word I was thinking. Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth, and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. Therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work amongst this people, even a marvelous work and a wonder, for the wisdom of the wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hid. Oh, beloved friends, how do we come to chapel? Do we come in the way of tradition and of habit, or by the light conviction of our consciences alone? Do we amuse ourselves that God looks upon us with favor, because it is simply our attendance that he shall see and approve us of? That's not Mary's religion. And nor shall we ever be able to speak of such wondrous words as these. They drop into our spirit, and they lift the true child of God, the soul on high, to praise the matchless mercy of a God who saved them from their sins, who drew nigh to them in the deep sorrows of their heart and the deep anxieties of their spirit. It's a wondrous thing when providence and spirit unite together. It's a wondrous thing when our religion goes deeper than an outward act, so they go into the soul. It's a wondrous thing when true religion makes us pray with the Apostle Paul. Well, Paul, all his young life, was a one who sat at the feet of Gamaliel, instructed in the ways of the law. He had come before God with numerous prayers and spoke of himself in his acts and in the word of God, touching the law blameless. But he was here in Isaiah 29, verse 13. And lest I've had it said to myself in an accusation, you people are only New Testament people. No, beloved friends, we're not New Testament people. We're gospel people. We believe the fullness of the law of God. We believe in the wholeness of the Holy Scriptures, Old Testament and New together, which prophesied of the coming of Jesus Christ in Matthew 15. And we have again this identical prophecy of Isaiah spoken of Jesus Christ as he comes to bring and to expose a Pharisaical spirit, the spirit of hypocrisy. How we do need to be taught, beloved friends, that hypocritical spirit lies within each of us, that we are nothing more than vain and vile creatures outwardly. And to be with Mary in this precious text is to be touched by the hand of God alone in our souls. Matthew 15:8. We can think, begin in the second verse. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. A mercy if our hearts are touched and our hypocrisy is exposed. I remember back at home, there was our children at school were given a task. The school decided that they needed a flag. They needed something to represent themselves and some identity. I was indignified, to say the least. I thought, what utter foolishness. What utter foolishness to do occupied in such a thing. The banner of Jesus Christ crucified. That's what we need. That's what we all need. I really felt it in my heart. Forbid my children even to partake of it. Then in my deep ignorance, so often we think to do things right and we are very wrong, but in my ignorance, I'll draw you a flag. And I drew a can with all the worms crawling out. So that's us. That's a flag that is good as a representative of the school. But what we have to learn, friends, is that's not just a representative of a school or of the ignorance of others. I have to learn that this can of filthy worms lies here in the heart. And we need to be exposed not to what others are. That's what the hypocrites are doing. They are full of condemnation of others. But we need to be touched in our own hearts and convicted in our own spirits of our own dreadful condition. That's when religion becomes real. And we need it not just once, we need it over and over and over again. We need to be touched in our hearts and spirits. We need to be exposed to that deep, depraved condition. That there's nothing more than the filthiness of worms that come out of us. That which is not acceptable unto God. It is what, when we read in his name, shall be Jesus, a Savior. What does that name of Jesus mean to us? Do we rejoice? My soul doth magnify the Lord God. A precious Jesus. Here the hymn writer says it, does he not? How sweet does the name of Jesus sound in a believer's ear? It soothes his wounds. And again, I'm not familiar with it, but it is that precious, precious name in which the wounds are healed and the griefs are soothed. It is which the exceedingly despondent and depressed soul is counseled by the precious words of Jesus Christ. How sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. Does it sound of the preciousness to you? What does Jesus mean to us? Mary could speak with clarity and honesty and sincerity. Her religion wasn't that which was only upon her lips. It could be seen in her walk, in her talk. It could be seen in the song of praise, but it can be seen also in the deep, earnest desires and longings of her soul. It could be seen in the testimonies in which she spoke of the preciousness of Jesus Christ and the exceeding rich mercies of God to her. I was thinking of this word as I was preparing yesterday in this particular text, and the word that I was thinking of was this: tarry. Though it tarry, that prophecy in Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 3, the vision is yet for an appointed time, but it will surely come. And though it tarry, wait for it; it shall come. And not tarry. And there, dear friends, we find something echoing in the heart of those like Mary. Those that long for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And did not the promise of the coming Savior tarry. You think of that first promise of Jesus Christ to come. And destroy Satan. The solemn effects of Satan upon this earth. And to renew man again into communion with God. It shall bruise thy head. But how did mankind have to wait and wait for the promise? Oh, but the what the Lord has spoken would surely come unto his tried and troubled Mary. She who was able, we find that in Luke 10, do we not? Jesus spoke well of Mary. Jesus said this of her: one thing is needful. One thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part, and from her it shall not be taken. There was a longing, friends, of Mary for the blessings of Jesus Christ, for the coming of the Savior. Is there such a longing in your hearts for this same blessed coming of Jesus? Is there a people in our midst even today that are waiting, longing for the coming of the Messiah? Oh, the promise applied with power in the soul, the promise applied unto that deep, urgent longing of the soul. One touched by the feeling of its sinful depravity, one touched by the certainty of the coming judgment day and the unprepared soul. One touched by the great need to be washed from all its sin and all its filthiness. One tried and troubled by the long delay of the application of the promises of God. Unto such, beloved friends, all we would say unto such ones, to press on, to wait on the Lord, and to wait on His presence, for He is a merciful and gracious God. And what has entered the heart with great power in your hearts, what has entered with a deep reality, what has turned our souls from the passions of the world to a desire to find Christ, that shall not be disappointed. This is not the religion of the lips, that true desiring, that sorrowing soul that desires Jesus. The Lord will tarry many times until we are at that place with no more strength and scarce a hope to cling fast to, that He might show us that He's yet a merciful and gracious God to all our emptiness and all our sinfulness, and that we might be able to send out with the ejaculations to heaven and the arms lifted up in praise unto God that He has sent His Son Jesus Christ into our poor sinful hearts. And though we have long waited for it, oh, we see the necessity of that long wait, and we see the wisdom in that long wait. And then when that blessed Jesus comes in, then we come in with Mary to say, "My soul doth magnify the Lord." Oh, we see how necessary it was. There was still a cutting off to do. There was still the removing of that lip worship. There is still that exposure to our hypocrisy and the emptiness that lies in all that is here. That outward religion in which the Lord is not well pleased. And the Lord waits that He might kill, that He might pluck, that He might break down, that He might root out all this hypocrisy. It is then to exalt and to glorify the Lord God alone in His gift of Christ. It is then for us to realize it is Jesus and Jesus alone that has saved our souls. Are we such subjects, friends, touched in our hearts? Is religion real to you? Have we been able to say, in the furtherance of that gospel way, these same precious words? These words dropped into my spirit in the middle of the night, and they woke up woke me up in bed. I could not sleep a moment longer to read the word of God and to rejoice in this sacred truth. My soul has rejoiced in God. My soul has magnified His name in living reality of the blessings and of the joys of the soul. When the heart is touched, dear friends, and when faith is an exercise and the love of God is poured into the soul in power and in reality, it constrains the heart to follow the gospel way, but it also loosens the strings of the tongue. In Psalm 40, it says that I waited patiently for the Lord, and He heard my cry. He climbed unto my cry, and He brought me forth out of the pit and out of the miry clay, and He set my feet upon a rock, and He put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto the Lord God. And many shall see it and fear God because of it. What precious truths if we are able to wait patiently for the Lord. We have no right in ourselves. And though we tarry, then we would encourage such troubled souls to wait for Him. To set up plea after plea unto the Heavenly Father that He might, mercy might, apply that word as a point of time. In His own wise way into our souls. To encourage us to press on. To strive to enter into the straight gate. And to be able to sing these precious words. My soul doth magnify the Lord. And my spirit doth glorify God my Savior, doth rejoice in God my Savior. We realize, friends, it melts in our souls that God does not forsake us and will not forsake us. That from time to time He applies the words of this precious Bible into our souls. The Spirit comes to attend the Word with power and living reality. I say that over and over. Our religion cannot be a religion of supposition, of fancy, or imagination. Mary's religion was real. She sat at Jesus' feet to hear his gracious words. She invited him into her home and into her heart because of the great love she had to him and how she adored him. She was, like Paul, not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it was a power of salvation unto her heart. Is Jesus such a Jesus to you? Can we say these words, friends, not just because we say them all our life long through? All our life long through, these words come out from time, not every day. We pray that God would give it to us every day. Oh, that God would bless us with such a close communion to Jesus Christ. It is as we come in with something of John, leaning on his bosom. Trusting wholly, like the hymn writer, trusting wholly on his merit, casting on him all our care. My soul does magnify the Lord for his continued care of my soul and of my body. He shall sustain me. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Mary then, one whose heart was applied. And friends, here again, I may have said this already. Sometimes I forget so many times of the repetition of the word. But Mary's religion is a religion of utmost necessity. In John 4, we have a confirmation of this. In John 4, we read, a needs be or a must. We must be like Mary in our souls. The Father, Jesus said it of his Father and the necessity of religion. The hour is now coming, it cometh and now is, when true worshipers must worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Must. If it doesn't enter into our hearts, deep into the deepest affections of our heart, if it doesn't replace the affections of the world, if we still cannot let go of the world, if we still want, we sang it to the young friends on Friday, you cannot serve God in mammon, you cannot have your hand in the world, in the passions and its lusts, your treasures, your eye must be singly upon Christ. For where your treasure is, there shall your heart be also. Is our treasure in the person of Jesus Christ and that salvation from him and the comfort derived from him and the peace? My, he says, he is that peace who hath broken down the middle wall of partition between Jew and Gentile. Is he your peace? Can we find a peace in the world? A peace in some other way? Mary couldn't. Oh, when that peace attended her soul, it was then the soul lifted up its praises unto God and to Jesus. My soul doth magnify the Lord. We must, of necessity, worship God. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith to him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And we have a marvelous thing here. Now the woman goeth into the city and says, I have found the Messiah. He hath told me all things. Friends, is he one that speaks into your hearts and tells you all things? I am the way, the truth, and the light, the only way, the only true way, the only acceptable way, the living means, the breather of life into our spirits. We say that in prayer, continue, that resurrection power of Jesus Christ who raises his Marys out of death into the marvelous light of his kingdom. Is he such a Jesus? Has he breathed that life, that power into your souls and thus become so precious? The second point, beloved friends, is when the Lord touches our hearts and makes us real worshipers, when the Lord And I would say this, in a sense, carefully, to some more than another. But it seems that the Lord, in many ways, is pleased to consume my mind with the necessity of serving Jesus. To consume us with seeking, finding, and living in Jesus. And we would move into that in the second point of when we are examined. When we were speaking the other day, I, the Lord, doth search Jerusalem with candles. And it will punish them that are settled on their lees. Speaking of how the Lord, how the Lord exercises his people that they might walk in that new pathway of Christian experience and the obedience of his commandments. And to see in themselves what emptiness that there is within them, what lack of resolve, what inability to follow the ways in which Jesus has commanded them. It's something again, in Psalm 40 again, it ends that I am poor and needy. That's where the Lord brings us continually. Being nothing more than a poor and a needy sinner. But then that necessary realization, yet the Lord thinketh on me. Like Paul praying, Lord, help me. Or rejoicing with the truths of the Apostle Paul. We have that faithful, let us come boldly to the throne of grace, for we have a faithful and merciful high priest in the heavens who cannot but be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. You want to do speak of that as in the chapter that we have read together. As Mary speaks something of a precious Jesus in her song. The first thing was the confession of who Mary really was. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. Oh friends, how you and I have to be brought into this place. This low estate. Or him right, it says that nothing in my hands I bring. Oh, actually we bring something. Sins, confessions and acknowledgments of our sins. Pharisaical spirit, friends, comes in those who do not know the true condition of their heart. Who not feel its terrible plague. How old man of flesh, to the very dying day, at the very last moment of our existence, will plague us and bring us lower and lower and lower in the dust of abasement. And then we have to come in with John, that, oh, let only Jesus exalt himself and let my soul sink ever so low. The hand upon the mouth in a solemn awareness of this low estate. And then the low estate in all the seasons of life. In all the trials and troubles of life, what does it do? It doesn't bring us up. We look at others. We look at others in their happiness. We look at others in all the rejoicing. This is a different rejoicing I'm talking now. People that are in the spirit of mirth. The spirit of songs and rejoicing of this earth. This morning, 4 o'clock, somewhere around there, I heard this boom, boom, boom of this car going by with that loud music in the vehicle. And I could only think, oh, there's another one. Another one that's partied all night long. All night long and going home to fall asleep all through the Lord's day. I'm not talking about that mirth. I'm not talking about the mirth of an outward Christian who still may rejoice in the outward things. No. I'm talking of that happiness of a soul sunk ever so low that God yet would look upon them. The tender mercies of this Lord Jesus Christ. Such a low place Mary was in, and yet the eye of God looked down upon her. There was no compassion, beloved friend. In the whole of the gospel, we find it over and over and over. Jesus moved with compassion. Jesus touched with their infirmities. Jesus weeping because his people were weeping. Jesus has that sacred human heart that he understands the deep afflictions of his people and their low, low estate. Oh, they see others going in the ways of joy, but they are so bowed down. That was Mary. It's a mercy, dear friends, where we too may be brought into such a place. That's why I was emphasizing on Friday evening, and we would speak it again this morning hour. We love the world. You and I love the world in our hearts and the old man. We could never deny that if we're honest. We always feel, when grace is not flowing in its full strength, and the love and the oil and grace of the Spirit subsides, so to speak, by the wisdom of God, we see immediately our hearts turning another way. The low estate of a child of God comes in with Asaph. I was envious at the prosperity of the wicked. We need to understand, beloved friends, pray to the Lord to reveal this deeper and deeper in our hearts, that we're full of these passions. It is God alone, this precious Jesus who comes and shows us who we are, that we might rejoice in the power of this blessed Savior, the glorious and divine power of God, the Emmanuel, God with us, that we are able to leave the world, and that its power no longer has such an influence upon us. Again, he that is mighty hath done great things to me. My soul doth magnify the Lord. Why? Because the child of God, like Mary in real religion, is assaulted daily by the temptations of Satan. I've had it again this past week, over and over, as if Satan thrusts in the thoughts. He attacks the mind, that we scarce can tell the difference between the sin and us, so close it is. The only way that these things can be taken from us, that we might flee to the cross of Christ and bow down there, Lord, apply the blood. Lord, that I might by my spirit hear the groans of an agonizing Savior, and that I might with reality understand all the dreadful effects of these sins when we embrace them. How mighty is the power of Jesus Christ in real religion. It is our only hope. Mighty things. He hath done mighty things. And my soul doth magnify the power of my God and Savior. Do we have, friends, such trials in life? Trials in which we find we are so exceedingly assaulted and no strength. In Pilgrim's Progress, Apollyon approaches Christian and defies him the right to travel any further on the narrow pathway. He is well nigh assaulted and well nigh destroyed. He loses that sword, does he not? Then he says, that song of exalting the Lord, I shall not die but live and exalt my Savior. He rejoices in the power of Jesus Christ as the word and the reality of his salvation is applied. Jesus Christ, his deliverer and conqueror. I shall not die but live to praise the name of the Lord. And I don't say it exactly verbatim there. The reality it is, dear friends, that he defeated Satan, not in his own might, in his own power, but by the mercies of his tender God. Can we say that we have been delivered in such a way? Can we say, my soul doth magnify the Lord, my spirit doth rejoice in God, my Savior, for his power in delivering me? I was brought low, and he delivered me out of my distresses. Oh, that men might praise the Lord for his goodness to the children of men. Mary, and all such ones, can speak such truths from the depths of their heart. He has showed strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud with the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich hath he sent empty away. Here again, friends. Here is real religion. Hungry. Hungry souls. As a heart panteth after the water brook, so doth my soul pant. My soul pant after thee, O God, the living God. When shall God appear? Hungry. A real religion. We thank God. And it would never, we'd never take that away. We thank God for the provisions of the day. For the wondrous mercy of God in giving us our daily bread. But how much more does the soul magnify God for that bread from heaven to fill our exceedingly famished soul with the supplies from heaven. The gift of God, even His Son Jesus Christ, as living faith, partakes of that bread and wine. Have you ever longed for Christ in such a way, friends? Felt us sinking lower and lower? The cry of the psalmist, what remembrance of thee, O Lord, is there in the pit or the grave? What thanks shall be rendered unto thee, O Lord, except my soul is fed from that bread from heaven? The open mouth, the cry of the soul, the mouth of the soul, that is, to partake of Jesus, oh, that I might know where to find him. I perish, my hope is cut off from the Lord. A hungering soul for deliverance, a hungering soul to be fed of Jesus Christ, a hungering soul to realize what it is to be saved by grace, a hungering soul that pants in prayer and cries unto God, oh, feed me the realities of that crucified Savior. Are we hungry, friends, for the cleansing of our sins? Do we pant after the love of God to melt our souls and constrain us to walk the gospel way? Are we hungering for the power of the Spirit and the enlightenment of the Spirit to enter into your hearts to teach you? This is to hunger. We have no provisions of self. We have no nourishment in the earth and of the world. And we see nothing more than utter futility in trusting in our own self. We cannot provide for the provisions of our soul. He feeds such hungry ones. And therefore Mary and the living church shall thank God for him who suffered, bled, and died for them and fed their starving souls. He said, none empty away. And the hungry he filled with the good things of himself. I was thinking of that word. Will ye also go away? Jesus set before them the truth and reality of real religion, a hungering and thirsting after the blood and righteousness of Christ, eating his flesh and drinking his blood. That was a true Christian. And here is something that we pray that might be applied to us. There was a people there in that chapter who were called disciples. Disciples of Jesus Christ. They followed him. They ate of the miracles that he provided for them. They heard his words as he sat on the mountaintop to teach his disciples. And then when this truth, when this necessity was set before them, you must eat my flesh and drink my blood to enter the kingdom of heaven. From that time forth, many of his disciples turned and went away, for the saying was too hard for them. It was only here. It was only here. And the question is to us, will ye also go away? But blessed be God. He has a chosen people. Here again. And we can combine it in it. Our souls rejoice in the election of God of his chosen people from the never begone eternity. That was the very reason that this low handmaiden, first of all, that she might bear the wondrous Savior, and then that she might rejoice in him. And so the entire church shall rejoice in God that he has chosen them and called them forth out of the world and prevented their own destruction and enabled them to hunger and thirst after him and to worship at his feet with Mary. How many things in all the circumstances and paths of life we find this truth of the second point, the cause of rejoicing is that their Lord sustains them day by day. We sung it with the hymn writer, did we not? The Father has written, think of this grand truth, the Father has written their names in his Son's hands. He made his Son suffer for them. He poured out his wrath of their sins upon his dear Son that they might live and become his sons and daughters. He tormented, he grieved his own Son. He afflicted his Son, smitten of God and afflicted, we read in Isaiah 53. And that great cry of anxiety poured forth out of the lips of his dear Son, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? For Mary and for every child of God, that they might rejoice in the wondrous news of salvation. And so we see that circumstance after circumstance, though they see it not, their God shall never let them fall away. And they may not see it at the time, but they may look back at the wondrous provisions of God and his infinite wisdom as he moved in various ways the scenes unknown to them to bring them at his own appointed time to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. We must hasten on. I want to speak lastly, beloved friends, of Mary and the reasons why she worshipped and whom she worshipped. And here we know and acknowledge that she worshipped both the Father and the Son. There is such a oneness in that unity. My soul doth magnify the Lord Jehovah, the Lord Jehovah, the Almighty Father, the glorious Father in all his ways and his matchless mercy. And you can see it again in election. We see it in the sharing of his precious love. We see it in the communication of his holiness into a most unrighteous and unworthy sinner. Oh, we see it in all the blessings. Blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all heavenly blessings in Christ Jesus. And so we see that there is an exalting and magnifying of the Most High God for his matchless mercy and for his love shown into their souls. And it's for his drawing that child of sin and of lowness and of unworthiness into his tender arms, of bearing her up, of maintaining her way, and of never forsaking her. And equally so, we might see the exaltation of that Mary and all the living church in Christ Jesus, their Savior. Oh, wonder of wonders, that Emmanuel has come. Him who long tarried has come to earth to perform the wonder of redemption and salvation. Him, the Lamb of God, in his spotless humanity, he knew no sin. Think of that. Knew no sin. Is there not a rejoicing occasion of rejoicing there? The lip worshipper sees no value in it. But the child, the true child of God that has been touched in the heart of their sinfulness and their unworthiness will rejoice in such a theme. My Savior has no sin. I might come to him with confidence and in boldness, because he is my perfection. To have applied, dear friends, that word, I think it's in Peter, I may be wrong here, that he might present to himself a church spotless, having no blemish and no wrinkle. That's what she sees in him and only in him. So I was reading, when I said that already to you, of reading, and I believe in Psalm 86, it says, I am holy. We can only ever say that, friends, when we have Christ in view and the perfection of his holiness in view, his holy spotlessness and his perfection of the law. We can only be holy then and rejoice in him and never ever in us. Can we rejoice, friends, in such a theme? In the application of such a theme? In the reality of it? And lastly, we want to speak, friends, of the moral obligation of the living church to walk in the commandments of God and to be that bright, shining light. And are they bright, shining lights? Not in and of themselves. They never will be. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And they know that God, in that sense, is that very light. And that light shines in the moon and shines in the stars, every one of them. And they are a reflection of his light. Oh, if they should ever be able to walk that way, it is through the goodness of this God to fill their souls with faith, with desire, and with life to enable them to walk in that way. And let us never forget it, his precious love. It's what enables them to sacrifice themselves, to become nothing, and to remain nothing, and yet desires to walk in a way of fulfilling his commandments, loving the brethren, and loving not just the brethren, for it is easy most cases to love the brethren, but to love our neighbor, to love them that hate us, to pray for them that persecute us, and to bless them that despitefully use us, to give of our goods to all of the poor, and to feed the hungry. A longing and a concern that others may be drawn unto the same Jesus. And rejoicing with the angels in heaven when they see the mercy of God entering the heart of a poor sinner and drawing another Mary to the feet of Jesus Christ to worship. Oh, how they too will magnify the Lord for his matchless mercy and rejoice in God their Savior as that same Savior is applied to others. And so, friends, you may know that it is the longing of my soul that the Lord might give to you too, that sacred blessing of Mary. And I do pray that each one of us in our hearts might know the reality of these text words. And that you too may be enabled at God's own appointed time to speak these precious words and glorify God in heaven for the gift of his dear Son, Jesus Christ, applied to your souls. And so you shall say with Mary, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day were £731.50, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Decker will address the Sunday school this afternoon and preach for us on Tuesday evening and next Lord's Day. God willing, he will also preach at St. Ives tomorrow evening. Our young people are invited to meet Mr. Decker at Andrew and Rebecca's on Friday evening. And a reminder that there's a notice on the notice board of a meeting of the Trinitarian Bible Society Auxiliary next Saturday at Clifton. Let us close with hymn number 85. Our God, how firm his promise stands, e'en when he hides his face. He trusts in our Redeemer's hands, his glory and his grace. Hymn 85.
now, dear Lord, to be pleased to forgive all that thy pure eyes have seen amiss and are gathered together this morning. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit abide with us now and forevermore. Amen.